Morning. I'm Nick, for those of you who don't know me. I'm Nick, for those of you who do know me. It's funny, that, isn't it? How that works. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am almost organized this morning. I've left my jacket on because I'm cold, not for any of the, not because I'm trying to look cool. I don't think you look cool. I am cool. Okay, anyway. It could be a tough morning. Jacket's off. There we go. I was thinking about that scripture, you know, those things that so easily encumber. And, it, you know, it's feel a bit encumbered in a leather jacket. You need to be free, don't we? We need to be free of the things that that drag us down, which actually is very helpful because we're in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. We've been wading through Ephesians, it feels like, for about 10 years. Just this year, we did the first half, had a break, done the second half, and next week is the last one. And over these next 2 weeks, the game of two halves, so, you know, you need to book yourselves in, make sure you're here next Sunday as well, because kind of the two things will go together. We're going to read in a second Ephesians 6, which is about the putting on the whole armor of God. If you've been around the church for any length of time, if you were a child in church, you will have colored that in, won't you? Did you? Do you remember that? Yeah. Some of you went across the lines. That was me. There was a bit of coloring going on at the 24-hour prayer thing. I had to stop. I wasn't very good. You know, it's like Christian mindfulness is meant to help you encounter Jesus. It was just making me cross. So so I screwed it up and threw it in the bin. Anyway, I'm rambling. Let's read Ephesians 6 together. So this is Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to the very end. Finally. Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you may also know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Woo! Great. We're thinking about battle. We're thinking about the armor of God this morning. Last week, if you were here, I told you about that word submission, and we had a bit of a wrestle with that, didn't we? I told you about my brother making me submit when we were wrestling. We go into the rest of chapter 6, and actually it starts with this wrestling word. We wrestle against the powers. We wrestle against the challenges of life. We wrestle against just the bombardment of stuff that comes our way sometimes. And Paul reminds the people, the back end of Ephesians, he's picking up lots of the stuff that's gone on through the book. And he's saying, you need to remember who you are. You need to remember who you are in God. You need to remember who your God is. And he's saying the battle belongs to the Lord. If you've ever done any building work with, or any kind of gardening with little children, they want to help, don't they? They want to do stuff with you. And have you ever done that thing where they've lifted something heavy with you and you're taking all the weight, but they feel like they're doing something? Do you know that feeling? Have you been there? Yeah, some of you have. They're like, oh, I'm helping Dad. But actually, Dad has got all the weight in his back. Dad's got all the weight in his muscles. He's carrying the thing. This is what we have to come back to time and time again as followers of Jesus. He carries the weight. He carries the weight. You know, I don't know why you did or didn't come to the 24 hours of prayer. But let me tell you, prayer is where the heavy lifting is done. If you want to see some stuff change in your life, you need to start praying. If you want to see the forces that just seem to be coming at you again and again and again, stop. You need to get into that place of prayer. Because it's not about you, it is about Him. And prayer is where the heavy lifting is done. The battle, Paul tells us, belongs to the Lord. He says you need to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. It's not about your strength, you see. It's about knowing who you are with. At 19, I had 9-inch spikes off the top of my head, completely bald back and sides, and like a Mr. T job. It was an immense, amazing, beautiful haircut. I'm trying to go back there slowly without Ange noticing. Have you spotted it? And I walk into a pub with a girlfriend, and there's about 8 or 9 lads in this pub, and they start to laugh at me. I was used to that. I have lost teeth because of it, literally. But I was on a date. I wasn't going to have a fight, and this lad comes up to me, and he tries to rest his pint on my hair. I mean, it was instant extra spiky. It was pretty strong. And I wasn't a Christian. I asked him to go away politely. And I got ridiculed from these lads, and I thought I was going to get my head kicked in. And then at some point in those brief few minutes, somebody says something to this lad. And he either says, that's Ian Johnson's brother, or he says, that's Phil Johnson's brother. Both of those things are terrifying. So Ian Johnson is a little fella. He's only small. At that point, he was a third Dan black belt kickboxer, and he liked to use it. Phil Johnson is a big lad and likes to hit people. I mean, we're all sensible adults now, obviously. But at that point, he liked nothing better than a fight. Somebody, I didn't hear the word. What I heard was the kid come back to me and go, I am really sorry. I mean, I'm really sorry, mate. I didn't mean any disrespect. I am really sorry. I'm slightly perplexed. I think I'm going to get my head kicked in. And suddenly, there is a word of power has been spoken. And this guy comes and says, I'm really sorry. And I just say to him, I don't know which one of my brothers you know, but you're in trouble. And I drank my drink and we left. Because it's not worth hanging, because once you figure that out, he doesn't know who I know. You need to know who you're with. You need to know who you're with. And if you are facing trials of many kinds, and you are because you are human, you need to know who's lifting the weight. I like a little bit of Greek. As you know, I'm not great at Greek. I wasn't great at Greek at uni, but I like a little bit of Greek. And I love this word, this power word in Ephesians 6, and His mighty power, endynamumai. I have to say it like Vic and Bob. Some of you know Vic and Bob. You know Vic Reeves, endynamumai. Let's just look at somebody next to you and say, endynamumai. Go on. This is what the Church of Jesus Christ has forgotten. Jesus brings the dynamite. Jesus brings the dynamite. He does not take a knife to a gunfight. Jesus brings the dynamite. What are we facing this morning? We're going to get on to principalities and powers and some of the dark stuff of the world in a moment. But before we get there, before we go to those things that Paul talks about, we need to recognize that Jesus brings the dynamite. He has the victory. He proclaims the victory over us. And that is an incredible, incredible thing. Because we know, don't we, that the battle is real. So be strong, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. His mighty power. The battle belongs to the Lord. But the battle is real. The battle is real. Paul tells us in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to take your stand. He starts this little passage with 3 kind of commands, 3 instructions. He says, be strong in the Lord. He says, put on the full armor of God. And he says, take your stand. We need to stand because the day of evil is coming. It sounds like one of those Mexican festivals, doesn't it? The day of evil. Let's have tacos and cold beer. He's not talking about a particular day, I don't think. He's not talking about a coming realm where some evil superpower with a floppy wig is in charge of the world or something. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the stuff that you have already encountered and are encountering. What is the day of evil? It's the day of divorce. It's the day of depression. It's the day of cancer. What is the day of evil? It's those things, actually those things that we face, and we face them every day, day after day after day after day. Not just the bad days, and the days where you're not feeling so good. Those days that come constantly. And many of us have experienced that day of evil. And if you haven't experienced it, I hate to tell you this, but it's coming. Because it's part of the broken, fallen world in which we live. But my Jesus, he carries the dynamite. And we need to grab hold of that, because when the day of evil comes, and it will come because the battle is real, we need to know that Jesus is with us in the battle. The battle is real. Paul's putting a couple of things together for us to get hold of. Sometimes in our world, we want to be a bit black and white. We want to say there's this way or there's that way. But throughout the New Testament, throughout the Scripture, there is this idea that we can hold on to a couple of different things at the same time. So at the same time, the recognition is that the days are evil. There's also the recognition that God is good. And that's why Christians say God is good. All the time, God is good. Hallelujah. And yet we face the same troubles as everybody else. It was a song this morning. I was thinking, oh, I might add that to my funeral list. If you haven't got a funeral, by the way, this is not the sermon this morning. But if you haven't already written your own funeral, I highly recommend you do it. So on my laptop, everybody needs to know this, on my laptop, in my files, there was a file that's called Nick's Funeral. And it doesn't name people, but it's, you know, the songs I want, you know, where you need to buy the cigars from, all that kind of stuff, you know. The important, you know, the important details really helps your family. Because when you're grieving, you can't remember what dad's favourite song was, what mum's favourite song was. It really helps your family, it really helps the pastor. Can we have that? Yes, we can. Isn't that amazing? Some of the songs we've sang recently have all been about the victory over the grave. Because you will die, and so will I. And there is in Christianity this hope that the grave is not the end, because Jesus is alive. The battle is real, and Jesus has declared the victory. We read from Colossians this morning in the early morning communion. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. There is this idea in the cross that Jesus brings victory. It's called Christus Victor, if you want the theological term. Christus Victor, Jesus is the victory. And so when we face this stuff, when we face the difficult stuff, we know that he is in control. The battle is real. And as we come now to think about these powers, these principalities, these forces, what are sometimes called the demonic, Satan. When we read the New Testament, there's all sorts of different words used for these things, for the darkness that is around us. We need to recognize that Jesus is in control. Gordon Fee says, Paul's position lies in the radical middle, to take them with dead seriousness, but also to recognize that they are tethered for, restrained by Christ's victory over them in the cross and resurrection. We're talking about the powers of darkness. Paul nails them, names them rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces. Now, you might think we live in a rational world where there are no spiritual forces, where there are no angels and there are no demons, where there is no Satan, where it's just the chaos of life. But you know what? I've lived long enough and been a pastor long enough to know that we are up against some dark foes sometimes. This week, talking to a member of our church, not in the congregation this morning, but a member of our church, telling me that they'd seen some things move in their house. Something had moved them. Like, and it wasn't her, and it wasn't the mice. And I'm like, what do we do about that? She's like, what do we do about that? And I'm like, well, we just bring Jesus, because he's got the dynamite. We just bring Jesus. You know, the spiritual world is real. And as Gordon Fee says, we don't want to focus on it. We don't want to live there all the time. But we need to recognize sometimes we face the day of evil. And the day of evil is not just an ordinary thing. It is an attack, rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces. What do we do with that? How do we operate in that place? Paul has, I think, two sections here. Rulers, authorities, and powers in this dark world seem to be related, perhaps in his mind, to the Roman government. He's probably in prison when he's writing this. He's talking about the armor of God. And as much as his inspiration is from Isaiah says quite a bit about the armor of God. Paul's surrounded by Roman soldiers. And the armor he's thinking of is probably Roman armor. He's under the authorities. And the authorities are bad for him. Now, he's not saying here that if you work for the government, you work for Satan. Just thought I'd better clear that up, okay? Those of you who were in the NHS, who were teachers, you know, if you work for the man, he's not saying that. And actually, we see, don't we, in world powers, good things. Good things. We've seen that the British government, about 15 years ago, changed their charity law so that churches could get a lot more money from tax relief. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yes. We also see the British government legislate for earlier and earlier abortion times. That's a bad thing, isn't it? We see good and we see bad. We see positive and we see negative. We see sometimes that actually what is going on at a government level is evil in our nation and in other nations. But that's not the same as saying we're working for some evil power. Because we, as believers anyway, work for Jesus. But Paul is saying here, you are up against evil. There is a darkness in the world, and we need to be in a place where we can deal with it. Where we need to be in a place where we can say, you know, Jesus has got the power. Will you bring the power today? Because the battle is real. Jim Packer says, you know, just a bit like Gordon Fee, just walk down the middle here. Don't get so caught up with evil that that's all you think about. On the one hand, we can take Satan too seriously, he says. And on the other hand, we can err on not taking the devil seriously enough. Interesting, as I'm preparing this sermon, I'm reading commentaries, and it's amazing how many kind of academics say, oh, you know, that stuff, it doesn't happen anymore. That stuff's not real. I just think, get out there. Get out there, walk the streets of Liverpool and tell me there is not evil forces at work. I was in Uganda last year, and in Uganda, there was, in Ndeji, where we stayed, there was an animist shrine with beautiful artwork outside the shrine. I've showed you the pictures before, giraffes and elephants and all that stuff. And we know for certain that there was child sacrifice going on in that place. We know for certain. Bob Goff, who lots of the church love, he's part of a team in northern Uganda taking witch doctors to court to get them imprisoned because they are regularly sacrificing children, castrating boys in satanic rites, animist rites. This stuff is real. We face it. Don't let it overwhelm you, because Jesus brings the dynamite. Don't let it overwhelm you. But recognize that when Paul says here you need to put on the full armor of God, he's not just talking about temptation. He is talking about that, but he's not just talking about temptation. When Paul says put on the full armor of God, he's not just talking about the physical sin stuff. He's also talking about the spiritual. The battle is real, and the battle is yours. The battle is yours. We need to put on our armor. When we read through the Gospels, we read one of the signs that the kingdom is breaking in is Jesus comes and he releases people from demonic oppression. He does it all the time. It seems to be every 5 minutes he's saying to something that is oppressing somebody, get off, get out, off you go. He brings a word. And for some of us, we need to think, I think, about the stuff that we're facing and ask, what is going on in my life? I was sick last week. I don't think for a second that was demonic oppression. I think it was a virus. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? And you'll get Christian leaders who would say, everything is demonic. I don't think that for a second. I think that's going, giving them too much power. It's just a virus. But there's other stuff in our lives sometimes where we just seem to be facing the same thing again and again. And again and again. We need to ask what's going on here. Am I in a battle here with spiritual powers? And if you are, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Don't fall for the idea that these things no longer have impact, because they do. Now, the this is not my sermon really, but one of the questions might be, you know, can Christians be possessed? That's the completely wrong stuff from the New Testament. It doesn't even talk about, it doesn't even use that word. If the Spirit of God is in you, how can anything else be in you? Can I get an amen? The Spirit of God is in you, how can anything else be in you? But what can be attacking you? That's what Paul's talking about here. He's not talking about an internal thing. He's saying put on your armor. Why do you need armor? You don't need armor for what's inside, do you? You know, put your crash helmet. If I put my crash helmet on, my brain explodes. It doesn't help. I suppose it stops the mess getting anywhere. This is about the external, do you see? This is about the attack. Do you get it? Paul's saying we are attacked. We are in a place of darkness. There are these principalities, these powers, these things that are against us. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? Because the battle is yours. And he starts with the belt of truth. And the belt of truth is so important. He doesn't start with this accidentally. It's deliberate. He's saying you need to know the truth. We are in a battle. You need to know the truth. Jesus brings the dynamite. You need to know the truth. You can't stand against what you are facing. But you also need to know the truth. You need to look at your life and go, what is God saying? What are you saying to me this morning, Lord? What is there in my life that just seems to go wrong time and time and time again? What is there that feels like it is oppressive? And you need to be wise. You need to, you know, like, ask God for a bit of discernment. I'm not for a second saying that every sickness, every illness is demonic. We could say it's a result of the fall, but that's not where we're going this morning. But there are things that we face and we go, why does this keep happening to me? Well, you need to ask yourself, am I under a sustained and constant attack? And if you are, what do you do about it? What do you do about it? Well, I think there's a couple of things you can do. The first thing is, Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 1500s, he says Satan flees with just one small word. That small word is Jesus. Jesus. There are things going on in our lives, and sometimes the last thing we do is pray. Stop it. The first thing you do is pray. Jesus, will you have power here? Jesus, will you come? In Mark's gospel, Jesus' disciples, who've seen incredible things happen, they're praying for a lad, and they're trying to get rid of this evil, dark spirit thing, and they're having no success. And Jesus turns up, and he says, Lord, why couldn't we send this thing out? And Jesus says, this type comes out with prayer and, in some manuscripts, fasting. Now, we know for a fact Jesus hasn't just been praying, and we know he hasn't just been fasting, but that's part of his life, you see. And sometimes if we're facing difficult things, you need to change your lifestyle. Maybe you need to start to pray. Not maybe. You need to start to pray. You need to start to fast. Lord, I'm sick of this thing. I'm sick of this thing that has blighted my family. I'm sick of this thing that has blighted my life. I'm sick of always getting made redundant. I'm sick of always miscarrying. I'm sick of these things. Now, I'm not saying those things are always satanic. Are you with me? But I'm saying you need to ask yourself the question, what is going on here? Is this a power, a force, a thing attacking me? And if it is, where'd you go? You go to Jesus, because Jesus brings the dynamite. Where'd you go? You need to bring that one word, Jesus. You need to start to put into practice some stuff, pray and fast. And sometimes you need to bring others in to minister to you. Our friend Becky, who's now at Life Church College, thriving, doing great, a couple of years ago was schizophrenic, is on medication for life. There is no hope for her. But I don't believe that press, you see, because I've met Jesus, and he brings the dynamite. And we go and we start to pray for Becky, and we don't pray once for 10 minutes and everything's fine. Whoop, off she goes. That didn't happen. We pray consistently for 18 months. Every month, Angie and I going and praying for her. Every day, a mum praying for her. A mum and dad praying and fasting for her. The friends out there on the network praying and fasting for her. We did not give up. We kept going because we want Jesus to come in that situation. And we saw it. And we all go, that's amazing, don't we? Well, why shouldn't you have that experience? Why shouldn't you have that? Why shouldn't God move in your dark place? Why, if you are under this principality and power, this oppression, put your armor on, and part of your armor is the church. These verses are written in the plural. It's very interesting. We've made it individual. We've made it you, Nick Johnson, put your armor on you, put your breastplate of righteousness on you, put your shoes on of the gospel. But it's plural. We do it. We do it. Because sometimes you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing has happened. Well, get somebody else to come and pray and pray and pray and pray. Get in for the long haul. Say, Lord, I want to see a difference. I was thinking about ministry this morning. I didn't warn anybody. Because it's a heavy subject, isn't it? And actually, and I felt like the Lord said to me, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We've got time. We've got time. This is not an instant change. I'm bringing some power here into situations that need shifting. It might take a week or two. It might take a month or two. But God is for us. God is for us. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is who you are. That's who you are. And when we face these dark times, when we face the day of evil, Jesus says, I'm going to be there for you. We'll end where we started. The battle belongs to the Lord. If you are under oppression right now, if your mental health or your physical health is not where you know it should be, then maybe you need to do a bit of ministry here. Maybe you need to say, come on, God. Is this just the broken world? Or is this attack? And if this is attack, I want Jesus to come. I want Jesus to come in that situation. I want Jesus to bring life. I want Jesus to bring hope. Can we stand together if you're able? I wonder if you'd just open your hands. You can keep your eyes open. You can close them. Look, anything weird to you. But we're just going to ask the Lord to reveal to us whether there's some work needs doing, whether Jesus needs to bring the dynamite, whether he needs to do the heavy lifting. Holy Spirit, we just pray you'd come. I think you've been here. You are here. Lord, I pray for us as a fellowship that we would know your peace that passes understanding. And we know the power of the Most High God in our lives. Anything that is not a Jesus in this room, you need to leave now. Anything that is not a Jesus in your lives needs to leave now. Lord, I pray you'd come by your power, by your grace, and by your mercy, and you'd fill us again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.